Thankful for that song today. I was thinking about the Lord filling our cups, and you know, when there's just a little bit to give, sometimes and in some places you have to ration. You have to ration what you have to get by. But as they were singing this song, I was thinking, had kind of a visual in my mind of the Lord with His blessings that He wants to give to us in a big vessel. We've got a cup that we have, and the Lord's got a big vessel, and He's just pouring it out, and it fills up and overflows. And He's big smile on His face, not worried about giving more than there is to give, but just there to fill us up and make us whole. Because of Jesus today, we have a hope that is based on reality, that the Lord paid a price that we couldn't pay. He doesn't ration salvation. He doesn't look at our lives and say, based on your life, I'm going to have to just ration out a little bit of salvation. Now, you're going to have to go through life with a little bit of salvation just because of the way that you are. But the Lord came, paid the complete price, and whosoever would come to Him, He has a big old vessel, and He wants to just pour it out into our cup, and it spills over all around us, and we're wonderfully saved. We say, well, I don't always feel that. You may not always feel it. We're still human. It doesn't take away from the promise that God gave us, that His grace was sufficient, His blood is powerful enough to save us, and we're going to, I believe this morning, that we're going to get to heaven. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I'm just saying, I just wonder if we're going to look back and say, why did I worry so much? Why did I not just believe? And the Lord's going to say, see, I told you so. I told you that I would save you. I told you that I was there for you. I told you that I wasn't going to leave or forsake you. That if you believed and you loved me and you gave your heart, I was going to be there. Why didn't I just rest in that better? It's there for us. Whether you feel like it or not, it's a promise of God and we can believe in it. Thank the Lord. That's not my message this morning. Write the title of the message on the board. Written two words on the board, go out. I'd like to read a verse out of the 22nd chapter of Revelation. The 12th verse says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. It's a short verse. There's a lot in that verse. Don't plan on dissecting it, really. But I'll read it again because I want us to get a hold of it. Behold. Truly. Consider. Consider the reality of this. Here it is. Look at it. Behold. I come quickly. Folks, I believe every single one of us, when the Lord comes back for us, we're going to look back and we're going to say, truly, He came quickly. Whether you're 30 years old or whether you're 100 years old when He comes back, truly, He came quickly. And my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. That is not speaking of the Lord meeting out salvation to those that deserve it in their own fleshly works. But those who said, Lord, here am I. I'll go. I'll follow. I'll be a disciple. Lord, I will accept the gift of salvation. Lord, I'm willing to sanctify myself, dedicate, consecrate myself into your service. Lord, lead me and guide me and allow the fruit of the Spirit to begin to grow in my life. And the Lord takes notice of that. It's more than just, I'm saved, thank the Lord for that, and then go live however I want. But it is not about earning our salvation, But it is about, did we truly give our heart to the Lord? And this gets my attention. This verse captures my attention, and I suspect, I hope that it does yours. Come quickly. He says he's going to come quickly for what? Scripture tells us heaven and earth shall pass away. This that we are acquainted with, this earth, this place that we that we are so apt to give so much of ourselves to, the temporal. I do too. It's going to all pass away. The heavens that we know. We were looking up in the heavens last night. Beautiful. The heavens as we know it is going to pass away. Not going to be anymore. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, the scripture said. And this verse says that there's going to be a reward. There's going to be a judgment that's going to happen when this heaven and this earth that we're on passes away. And it's going to determine how we spend the rest of our lives, where we will be in eternity. And so the scripture says in Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse, speaks of redeeming the time. Redeem the time. Make use of the time. Value the time. There's just a little bit of it. For what is your life? It's just like a vapor that appears for a little time. Like you strike a match and you blow the flame out and you see smoke and then it passes away. Your life's like that. Vapor that you might see if they get the dew point, the temperature is just right on a particular day, and you see some fog or water vapor rising from the ground or from a pond, and then it just disappears. Our life is like that. We're here, but then we're going to be gone. And so the scripture says, given that truth, redeem the time. You redeem the time. Value it for the value that it holds, because is passing. How do we redeem the time? Redeem the time by placing importance on the things that are most important. Redeem the time by placing importance on the things that are most important. The things that you give urgency to, that you just feel like you have to do. I've got to do this today, now. Place urgency on the things that are truly urgent. Embrace salvation, the gift of Jesus Christ, above everything else. Lord, I want to be saved. Embrace salvation. Embrace being filled with the Holy Spirit. Redeem the time by making it a priority to give yourself, to sanctify yourself. We preached about that the other Sunday. To sanctify yourself. What does that mean? It's not supposed to be complicated. That I consecrate, that I dedicate. Lord, here's my life. Lord, I yield, I give my will to you. I want to do your will in my life. Let your will be done in my life. That's redeeming the time. And then go out. Go out. Don't remain stagnant. Don't remain spiritually isolated. This is scripture. It's redeem the time, because there are other people. They're going to face the Lord in judgment too. There are other people that their lives are just like a vapor that appears for a little time, and then they're going to vanish away and they're going to face eternity. And the plan is that disciples redeem the time by endeavoring to be a conduit for Jesus Christ that other people can be saved too. Go out. And that's the message today. It's an area we've touched on from time to time. Out of the book of Mark, I'd like to read the verse again in the 16th chapter of Mark. Two verses, verse 15 and 16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Very quickly, baptism itself is not what saves us. The baptism is speaking to the salvation that occurred before. That's what saves us, is the blood of the Lamb, not a work that we do. That's a testimony of what has happened. But he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. It's pretty serious, isn't it? So just before Christ departed, before he ascended back to the Father, he spoke from the heart of a life that had just been given in agonizing fashion on the cross, shedding his blood in terrible fashion, that everyone that believeth could be saved. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he spoke, not an idle request, not just an idea, not just an option to choose from, to those that were his disciples, but an exhortation. An exhortation. Go out. Go out into all the world. Why? Because souls are at stake. And judgment. he said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is to give to every man according to his works. When I come back, there's going to be a separation. And Jesus himself wanted every man to be saved. He would that all men would come to repentance. No man would be lost, but that all should come to repentance. And when he comes back, there's just going to be two things. There's going to be life, or there's going to be death. And because of that, the Lord was very concerned that there be a plan that extended out to every single person, regardless of where they were in life, to go out and find him. So he exhorted, go out. Where? Where did he exhort that we go out to? It said, all the world. To do what? It says, to preach the gospel. Well, where's all the world? Well, I'll tell you this, it's beyond these four walls. All the world is beyond these four walls. It goes beyond here. We are not, the scripture says, we're not of the world. In other words, we dwell, people that have sanctified or dedicated, consecrated, set themselves apart from the world unto God. We still live in the world, but we're not of the world. But the Lord exhorts us to go out where we are into all of the world to take the gospel. Not just the church family, but to all with whom we intersect in this life. It's an exhortation. And who is that? It's people from all walks of life all around us. In our neighborhoods, where we go to work, at school, in town, yes, here at church, to the mothers that are here today, to the moms that are here,
going out into all the world and taking the gospel, sometimes you need go no farther than your living room.
A mission field that so many have neglected in life, that's right in front of them. So important to take the gospel in a faithful way to all the world, which includes our own homes. Folks, it's not enough just to be present with the people of God. It's not just enough to be present with those that love the Lord. Yes, the Scripture teaches us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, so much more seeing the day approaching. It's important to come together and to be together. That's important. To be in the house of the Lord. It's important to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's important to have received the Holy Spirit into our lives. It is important to be an example unto the believers. It's a high calling. Be an example unto the believers that other people can follow you and draw strength from your life. That's important. It's important to grow in those areas that that we recognize we need help. Is there anybody here this morning that has spiritually arrived? Anybody here that feels like I've arrived spiritually? I've made it. I'm there. I don't need anything more. I see no hands. We haven't spiritually arrived. We have work to do in our own lives. However, it's not the time for us to say, if maybe we are focusing on our own lives and we're trying to be an example of the believers and we're endeavoring to keep ourselves from becoming a part of the world, which the Scripture says that all that is in this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, is said, these things are, they're all of the world and they're all going to pass away. And so sometimes it can feel like that it's a full-time job to continue to focus on myself so that I don't allow those things to take place in my life, and that I work on myself and I try to close the gaps that I see when I look at myself in the mirror and I see all these opportunities where I need to do better. We can probably all say amen to that. Yes, all of that is true. All of that is a reality. But it's not time to sit back and say, okay, that's where I'm at. I guess I'll just focus on that now. Or alternatively, folks, get hold of this. The enemy works with us in this area. Or alternatively, where we look at our own lives and we say, I am not qualified to go out into the world to go out and preach the gospel. I'm not qualified because I have some areas in my own life that I haven't closed the gaps yet. And so therefore, that isn't something for me to do. We are commissioned. The Scripture commissions us. And I know he was talking to his disciples, but he also told all of us. This Scripture was put here for our edification, that we would all be a light to the world, that all of us would be salt of the earth, that people could look to our lives and see Jesus Christ. Yes, perhaps not everybody is in a place where they are qualified. The Scripture teaches us to be a preacher in the strictest sense of the word. But the Lord is calling all of us to go out into the world and take the gospel.
And I believe that he's asking us to do it because of the way that the scriptures teach us throughout the whole of the gospel that it is a responsibility for us to do concurrently with working on our own lives. Because if we allow the enemy to have his way, we can withdraw into this place where everything becomes about ourselves. And I am concerned about myself. I don't want to be lost. When the Lord comes back and calls my name, I don't want to be lost. I don't want him to say, you didn't pay enough attention to those places that I put my finger on in your life, and therefore I'm going to separate you onto my left hand. I don't want that to happen to me. But I also don't want to be separated from the Lord because I neglected to lift my eyes up off of myself and see the needs of those that are around me, knowing the gospel, the hope of the gospel that I know. The Lord would like me to do those things concurrently, work on my own life, and in the process, share with others. You know, I think about that word concurrent, and then this is just me. It causes me to think about current. And, you know, in electricity, a lot of times you have a couple situations. Most of the time there's others besides these. But current flows in series and it flows in parallel. And when it flows in series, you got to get through that first resistor or that first thing you're trying to power before you can get to the other. But then there's this situation where current flows in parallel. And it comes off of the power source, which is Jesus Christ. And it goes two places at the same time. And I believe that that is what the Lord wants us to do, is to concurrently. He wants us to allow His Spirit to work in our own individual lives. But He would also like us to be a carrier of the hope of the gospel to those that we come in contact with. And so He commissions us to go, and I don't think that our struggles disqualify us from sharing the answer that people are looking for in the world. In fact, sometimes our own struggles can be testimonies of the process of growth that the Lord has for us and His grace. Jesus asked Peter before He left. He said, Peter, do you love me? How many times did He ask Peter that? Three times, right? Did Peter not hear Him the first time? Was Peter running a skill saw or something and didn't hear what He said, so Jesus had to say it again? And then the second time, Peter shut the skill saw off, but he still had earplugs in. He hadn't taken his earplugs out, so he didn't hear Him the second time, so the Lord had to wait until he could finally hear audibly what He said. Was that the situation? No, that wasn't the situation. It was that Jesus wanted to make a most important impression and point to Peter. So it's like Peter is standing right there facing Him, and Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, well, yes, Lord, I love you. And they're still standing there. And Jesus said again, Peter, do you love me? Oh, yes, Lord. I love you. But it wasn't over. They're still standing there. And Jesus said, Peter, yes, Lord. Do you love me? And then Peter was grieved because he felt like, you've asked me this three times. You must doubt what I said the first time. But I don't believe it was that as much as it was the Lord had something He was wanting to tie to the question He was asking of Peter. And He wanted Peter to get the connection. And I don't think it was just Peter that He wanted to get the connection. He wanted me to get it, and he wants you to get it. And so I want us to get it, me and you, this morning. You love Jesus? I see head shaking yes. But do you love Jesus? Do you really love him? Well, yeah, that's why I'm here. Do you love Jesus? That's what Jesus said to Peter. And when he had that undivided attention, he had reached Peter's heart. It had gone beyond his ears into this knowledge of, oh yeah, I heard him say, do I love you? And I know I'm supposed to say, of course I love you. And it came out of his mouth, in his ears, out of his mouth. Jesus asked the question until it went in his ears, into his mind, down into his heart, from his mouth. And Jesus said, okay, if that's true, if you love me, feed my sheep. It's more than just about you, Peter. It's about, if you love me, if you truly believe in me, if you believe this is right, if you believe that, if this is really where your heart is, and you want to serve me more than anything else, which is our testimony. We say, Lord, I'm sanctified. I've dedicated, I've consecrated my life to you. If that is true, then we are necessarily going to be led into places, because we're following Christ. The Lord is going to lead us into places where our lives intersect with other lives, that we might be able to share the hope of the gospel. And we look up and outside of our own lives. Do not, in the fear of the Lord and by the grace of God, don't let the enemy always be plaguing you with all the reasons why you're not the one or not qualified to tell somebody else about the hope of the gospel. I'm running a race and I haven't crossed the finish line yet. And there's plenty of opportunity to stumble and fall and make a decision on my own. I have not arrived and you haven't arrived. But that doesn't mean that as we run, we can tell somebody else, man, I've got a side ache right now and I'm struggling. But I'll tell you what, the Lord, I want to tell you the good news of the gospel. These people up here, they're serving water on the side. It's the water of life. And if we get some of that water when we go by, it might help us. And I want you to know that. I'm struggling, but here's the hope of the gospel. That might be a help to you too. You see? And it's an exhortation. It's what the Lord, it's what he told Peter. One of the last things that was one of the most important things that he told Peter, and therefore by extension us. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Where are we today? Where are we as individuals? Where are we as a congregation? Along this line, is there any room for growth? I have room for growth. Are we going out? Are we content to be at ease, content with the status quo? Just kind of get in a rut. You know, we have what we believe is a moral lifestyle. We believe the right things. We can point back to when we got saved, and we don't live like those people, you know, out there, and we can just almost get in a rut and find a sense of spiritual security with that. And yet the scripture tells us to redeem the time and to go out. And when we ask ourselves, well, how are we doing on that? I don't know what goes through your mind, but I know what goes through mine. And what goes through mine is I have room to improve in that area. I don't feel like that I'm there yet. And perhaps it's comforting to tell ourselves, yeah, that's right. We've got some room, you know, as a congregation and as an individual. I sure do, preacher. I've got room, Lord. I've got room for improvement in that. Yep, that is certainly scripture, and it might be comforting to just kind of say that and acknowledge it. But if we know there's room for growth, and we know there's room for improvement, and we know that the Lord, one of the last things He said was, I want you to go out, given the stakes. I want you to go out, take this. If we know that, is it important enough to us? Is it urgent enough for us to cause us to give some time and heart and energy to doing maybe something that's different than we've done before? Scripture says in the morning, 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, because you don't know which one of them is going to prosper. That one might, this one might not. This one might, this one might not. Maybe they both will prosper. It's not given to you. It's given to the Lord. And so the scripture said, live your life where in the morning you are looking for those opportunities to do that. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for it shall return after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil should be upon the earth. In other words, you don't know. This might be your last day. There may be evil that comes where tomorrow is the last day for somebody, and you need to be giving a portion of casting some seed to seven, which complete number, and also to eight. Let's just reinforce it. All that you come in contact with, be willing to sow your seed. And so perhaps consider this morning as a challenge. Really, in a lot of ways, we all go out. We do this. We go out into all the world. We go to town and we intersect with all manner of people. We go to work. Many of us go to work. Maybe year after year after year and encounter all kinds of people. We go to school to all the world. We've got all kinds of people. We live in neighborhoods, the cross section of all kinds of people. Question, my burden this morning isn't so much are we going out, but it's how do we go out? When we go out, how do we do it? What's our purpose when we go out? You know, I maybe took too long to learn this. That it's sometimes it's easy to compartmentalize, to separate church activities with temporal activities. I have church activities and my spiritual life and doing the will of the Lord, but then, you know, I also have to go to work and I have to make a living and get a paycheck so I can put food on the table, and then I do these other things.
So this is, you know, spiritual and work.
This is all the world. The Lord doesn't want us to separate these into boxes. Yes, I have to go to work and I have a responsibility to make a living. But you know what the Lord would really like us to do is He would like us to view this. And maybe it's school, and maybe it's our neighborhoods, and moms, it's our living rooms, and it's town, and when we go to these places, we go with purpose and intent that I'm going into all the world, into all of these places with the intent of being able to share the gospel in some way. But it's easy to think, well, maybe one day I'll fly somewhere and take the gospel, get in an airplane and go somewhere. And you know what's really interesting is that wherever you're going, there's probably somebody over there that's saying, you know, one of these days I'll go somewhere right where you are and take the gospel. It's like, well, wait, I'm already there. How about maybe I can just take the gospel right outside my front door where I'm going? The phrase preaching the gospel is foundational to our understanding of what our mission is in life. We've talked about having a vision and objective of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in a way that results in knowing and growing and reflecting Christ, making it to heaven, and helping other people make it to heaven. And preaching, when it says go into the world and preach the gospel, preaching implies deliberateness. It's not just something that happens accidentally, but it's something that you do with intent. And a lot of times, folks, it's not just standing on a street corner or standing right here and with intent preaching the hope of the gospel, but more often than not, it's having personal conversations from the heart when you're in town, when you're at work, and at school, and in your neighborhoods, showing the love of Christ with intent. Not just saying, well, I hope maybe something can be done, you know, unbeknownst to me. Yes, that will happen, unbeknownst to you. But the Lord wants us with purpose. We get up in the morning. Lord, I want to live my life. And when I go out, I want to be looking for those opportunities where I can be a part of sharing the gospel of Christ. We can all do that, can't we? Can we all do that? The Lord is not asking us to do it all by ourselves and alone. He's promised to go with us, and He's promised to help us. Let's live our lives where our trust is in the Lord to give the increase, and that we're willing to give what God has given to us, whether we realize or think that we've arrived or not. We say, Lord, here am I. I need a lot of help myself, but Lord, here am I. I'll sow. If you'll allow me to go, I'll sow and allow the Lord to give the increase. Let's be encouraged this morning to go out and take the gospel to a lost world. Amen.